Well, you would be unusual if you didn't have some or one. Or things that you question. In waiting on the Lord this morning, wondering just what He would have me share with you, I fought a battle. Because actually, the things that I'm going to share with you, I really felt they were elementary, and that you didn't need them. But then, when I examined my own heart and my own life, and I realized how much I need them, well, we aren't much different. We're all women, and perhaps all with the same problems, basically. And so we'll just see what the Lord brings forth. For many years, Dawson lived in Isaiah, the whole book, along with many others, of course. But I have his Bible here this morning, and it's quite a revelation. As you turn through the book of Isaiah, you can just you hardly can turn a page that isn't just marked, and some of it all marked. And at the top of Isaiah 43, this is what Dawson has printed in his own hand. This chapter has been given to me repeatedly back in 1932 and 33 in various and sundry ways, and was brought most forcibly to mind with the verses checked especially. And And I can say that that's literally true of me. Of my life. I started before Dawson left, but I've had to literally run to the Lord and to this book since I have been walking alone. Now, yesterday you had a rare privilege, I think. I didn't hear Roy Robertson as he shared with you, but I was privileged to go meet him with some others, and he shared his heart with us in the car, and then we had a coffee time with him in the afternoon at 3:30, and then a dinner was given at the Pink House, and I was privileged to be there. And so I think I have heard a great deal of heart preparation for Lois's homegoing. And I was privileged to be with Roy and Lois 15 days, as I told you last Sunday, in December. And Roy told us something in the car that I didn't know, and that was that Lois had told him some months ago that she would be going home, and that she would be going home suddenly. And he had never told a living soul. His heart was prepared in more ways than one. It was not a shock to him, he told us. He was surprised, and took him a few minutes to get his bearings and get his feet on the ground, as it were. And they've been on the ground ever since. But I'd like to say this for Roy, they've always been on the ground. Roy's never had a moment of hesitation, I'm sure. He's just being most humble. Roy's a godly man, and anymore I'm at the place where I realize that God knows who He can trust, and that's what I want for each one of you. And you know, I'm not just real sure if every one of you belong to Him. I haven't talked to you. I haven't heard your testimony, and I'm just not real sure. And I lived a few years, 13 years, on one side of the cross. And I've lived, 32 years on this side of the cross. And I married a man who, for 3 years, drank heavily. A man who was accosted by the law. Many times and picked up six times by the police. The last time was in Long Beach, California, for insulting a lady on the street. And I have seen what the power of God can do in a life. And actually, you who know Him, you are transformed. And very often, girls, and this is a point that I'd like to leave you this morning, very often a girl will come to me, or someone will be talking to me about a girl or a woman, and she'll say, well, it's the sweet in her. Or it's the Irish. Well, all right. We can't help what denomination we are. But listen, when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior and He came in to live in your life and to take control of it, you became a new creature in Christ. And you know, He took away old things. And all things became new. And very often I stop and say, did they? And so what I'd like to share with you before Isaiah is in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it shared with us there what the fruit of the Spirit is. And I want us to compare that with Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. Galatians 5 says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy. You have the joy? Girls, do you really love? Rodney Sargent's message on Sunday morning, I believe it was, when he spoke of the three eyes, he takes care of Mr. I. I think we all do. But it's love. And joy, peace. Are you at rest this morning? Are you peaceful? Do you have the peace that passeth all understanding? And then the next one is short suffering. Is that what it says? What does it say? Long. It's long suffering. And you know, girls, it is long. Long suffering. And then gentleness. And I believe that we are guilty of not having abundance of that oft times in our lives. Just gentle. Gentleness. Meekness. Temperance. Put the word balance in instead of temperance. Use balance. And I remember soon after we were alone, our girl was to be, our oldest daughter then was to be married. And we went downtown to start her buying her clothes for her day. And we were in a shop, and Ruthie said to me, "Oh, Mother, this is a darling black dress. You'd look so nice in it. It's just made for you." And I said, "No, I'm just not interested in a dress. We're looking at dresses for you." Never dreaming that she picked up anything. And so later she said to me, "You know, all the years that I've known you, I've never ever seen your hair just like I see it today. Oily, uncombed." You know that idea. And I mean, it was combed, but it didn't look combed. And I said, "Well, I'm not going to be getting my hair done anymore. I'm through." "Well, that's interesting," said Ruth. And she's a good bit like her dad. And so she said, So later she asked if she could see me when it's convenient. And, of course, it was convenient at that moment, so we sat down. And she said, "You know, Mother, for many years now I've been hearing you share your heart." And she went ahead and mentioned the groups and the pulpit idea, and she made quite a little story of it. And she said, you've made a statement through the years that I want to remind you of." And I knew that split second what it was. She said, "Many times I've heard you say, 'Girls, are you dressing for John or Robert,' whatever your husband's name is, 'or are you dressing for God? If you're dressing for John, forget it, because John could be gone tomorrow. But if you're dressing for the living God, He never changes.'" And I bought the dress and been having my hair washed ever since. Because I am a great advocate of looking your best for the King of Kings. We are in the greatest business under God's blue heaven, but have you ever considered how carelessly we handle it? And we take the fruit of the Spirit, girls, and we just throw it out. And had 14 years ago, you could have said to me, Lila, do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? And I would have said, well, I think so. I mean, it must be about 14 and a half years now. Well, it took our fifth child, and in God's great plan, he was an invalid. And it took that child to teach me or show me, at least bring to light, how little, if any, of the fruit of the Spirit that I had in my life. You know, we really kid ourselves. We really do. Oh, sure, I love everybody. Have you ever written your conversation down at the end of the day? Have you? Have you ever reflected on just what you said today or how you said it or who you said it to? And you know, girls, if you forget everything else that's said this morning, don't forget this one thing. We are here to build in a life, not to tear down. And remember that God deals in the invisible. He does not see you today as you are, but he sees you as you will be. And he loves you. He loves you. And you know, that's held my heart many times. That God deals in the invisible. And remember, dear girls, that he never, ever runs out of possibilities. I was in Europe last fall. When I suddenly realized that I was praying for something, and to me it was quite big. And I've been challenged for many years to pray for big things. And because I was just living in just a little puny world, I really was, and had to be just jerked out of it, as it were. And it's so easy for us to get it involved just in me and mine, isn't it? Bless Mama, bless Daddy, bless Grandpa, bless, you know, just, it really is. And those prayers are all right. But there's a world that's dying without Christ. And here I was praying for something that I thought was very big. And I began to decide how God was going to answer this prayer. Have you ever done it? And he doesn't do it that way at all, does he? And it suddenly hit me. Listen, he doesn't need anything to answer your prayer with, Lila. If he doesn't have it, he can make it. He made the world out of nothing. And, have you ever thought about it? There isn't anything he can't. He made you. And you know, did you know you're just two heartbeats from death? You ever thought about it? Maybe just one. Tomorrow morning, we could be startled right here. One of you slip home. And I trust it would be home. And then when you compare the fruit of the Spirit with Proverbs 6:16-17, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. Abomination. This is God speaking. These six things I hate, yea, seven are abomination. What is the very first thing on God's hate list? What? Before murder? Pride is before murder? What about the harlot? Is pride before the harlot? Before the sinner? How many think it's pride? It is. Three of the things that God hates and that are abomination to him have to do with the tongue. We wouldn't be guilty, would we? Not us. Not you. You see, the next is the hands that shed innocent blood. That's the murderer. He puts pride. Pride. And I think I shared with you how a man of God cured a man who was bothered with pride, just took him to the mirror. Just stand there for a few minutes and just tell me what you have to be so proud of. Ever looked in a mirror and asked yourself that? Now listen, girls, let's be honest, because we are guilty, no doubt, of pride in our lives. Proud. We have nothing to be proud of in ourselves or of ourselves. Really. Now we can be proud of others, and we can be proud of things in lives, but I'm speaking just to us this morning. And so I would suggest that you take a, examine your hearts. Take an examination. Put down the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and the seven things that God hates. This is God's hate list. And it's a daily prayer, on a daily prayer sheet of mine. It's so easy for me to become complacent in my life. And it's so easy for us to just rock our way to heaven and think we have done something for Him when we haven't. You know why? Because we haven't. We aren't being something. And if we are being something for God, we automatically are doing. But we have the cart before the horse. We're doing and we're not being. And if you're living your life solidly for Him, you're going to automatically do. And I suppose, I haven't been listening into your messages, to the meetings, but I suppose you've heard a lot on the home. And I've sat just like you in conferences, and I also have been in a home, and I've had on-the-spot training for many years. And I have not arrived, and I haven't reached the first rung on the ladder, so relax. I have not at all arrived. 2 years ago, it seemed like there was a wave on the Glen as far as Joyce Marston was concerned, because she was still in the pink house doing housework. And so we heard it quite a bit. And one day a girl wanted to see me, and she was really in tears. And she said, "Honestly, Lila, when is Joyce Marston going to leave the pink house?" Oh, I said, "I have no idea." She says, "Haven't you?" I says, "No, I haven't." "Well, why is she staying so long in the pink house?" I said, "Well, what's wrong with the pink house?" "Dishes? I can think of 411 things that are more important than dishes." And I said, "So can I, but they're still important." And she went down through the house, you see, because Joyce was gifted and she felt she should be here and she should be there. And, you know. So I said, "Are you praying about marriage?" "That's beside the point," she said. I said, "No, it isn't. Now, are you praying for marriage? Are you praying about a certain fellow?" Well, she wouldn't answer. I said, "Are you interested in getting married?" "Well, as a matter of fact, I am." I said, "Well, then forget it. Because you're just liable to have a pink house experience." You know, usually we wash dishes, don't we? And we have to clean the house and a few other things. You know, unglamorous, yes. Unglamorous. And I remember going to Mrs. Ruth Graham, Billy's wife, and I wanted to ask her how she prayed and what she prayed for. And she's the one who taught me this praying on the hoof, quote and unquote. And Ruth leaves the Bible open on her kitchen table 24 hours a day. And as a result, she gets 10 more minutes a day or within the 24 hours in the Word than she would otherwise, because she just sits down and puts an apron over her head, as it were, and that's her closet. And Ruth is a godly woman. She really is a very humble person, and I think has taught me much. And many times Dawson and I have said that we wish we had met them 10 years earlier for what they have taught us of loving the brethren. And I think of a verse in Psalms 141:5, which says, "Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let them reprove me, it shall not break my head." And of course, this is speaking of His dominion and His power, but it doesn't say anything about Christ's heart. And every time I read that verse, I think of Mr. Graham. Perhaps it applies to your life. See, I'm not afraid of the worldly one, but I am of the Christ one. And I'm glad. Because it isn't what I say or what you say, it's how do you walk. How do you walk before God? And I'm very grateful that God sent to our home this son, who he took this year, by the way, home to be with himself. But I'm grateful for the ministry that this child had in my life. And I think of the verse that Dawson claimed after his conversion, it might interest you, and it took me some 6 weeks. You see, I'm quite thick-headed. And I oftentimes have shed tears on just how long it takes God to deal with this heart of mine. Why is it that we just can't come into his presence and just say, Father, here I am? All I trust I'm at that place now. But why take so long, Lila? And Dawson accepted this verse, Luke 2:40. And see, he accepted it by faith. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Joan Scott, that you have met perhaps, Merle Gochner, that prayed just now, lived in our home part of the time that we had this child. We had him a little over 8 years before we placed him in a hospital. And they can, I believe, testify with me that he made a home out of our house. God knows how to melt hearts, and he knows how to melt a life and then reshape it and remold it. But the thrilling thing is, to me, he knows how to keep it. And Isaiah 43:2 is the verse I'd like to share with you, and I'll just review one. Some of you in the room have heard me say this before, and so if you'll bear with me. But in obedience to my call, I must say this. Isaiah 43:1 says, But thus saith the Lord unto you, But thus saith the Lord that created you, that formed you, that redeemed you, and that called you by your name. Rather personal, isn't it? He made you. He formed you. And before the creation of the world knew you, and then when you came forth from the womb, he called you by your name. And he says, You're mine. Thou art mine. Now, girls, in the middle of this one verse, now this is the creator, the person who can do anything. This is God. Made you, and he formed you, and he redeemed you, and he called you by your name. And then he says, you know, you're mine. And you really are twice his. He made you in the first place, and then he bought you. And in the heart of this one little verse, girls, he says, fear not. Just don't be afraid. And I opened a letter from a very dear friend of mine this morning, and they shared with me Isaiah 43:2, and then I knew I had to do it. And Isaiah 43:2 says, when you go through the water, girls, it says, when you go through. And it seems to me that we come up to the brink, we go around. We come up to the brink, we go back. Or we come up to the edge of the water, we sit down. Think of that heartache that you just faced. How are you treating it? Think of that promise you made of standing with someone in prayer. Did you keep it? Or did you just get half through? So he says, when you go through the water, he doesn't say you won't drown. And he doesn't say it won't be cold. And he doesn't promise that it won't be, that you won't get wet. What does he promise? I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And then he says, you know, you may get burned. He says, when you go through the fire, well, you may get burned. You may not. But he doesn't promise that there will be no scars. And he doesn't promise that it won't be hot. And he doesn't promise that you won't suffer. And he doesn't promise that there won't be trials. In fact, it's just the opposite. He has told us plenty of times in this sacred book that there will be trials, there will be heartaches, there will be disappointments. Perhaps there will be some frustrations, inner frustrations. But one thing he's promised, I'll be with you. And just last night, day before yesterday it started, and just last night, Lauren and I, we knew we were getting this call, and we had a call last night that very easily can change the destiny of my life. And it ain't easy. I have a plenty tough road ahead of me. But God has promised, I haven't even had a qualm. And neither has Lauren. And we slept on it night before last. And then Joyce and I slept on it. And Joyce is my roommate, I think. My housemate? How do you say it? She doesn't live in my room, but she's in my home. We have a home together. And it's home. And God lives there. And I tell you, I don't know where I'd be today if I just didn't know that He never changes. And before the foundation, He knew about this too. And one thing He's promised, and I make the word very personal anymore, girls, and I try it. It'll enrich your life. Put your name in there, Lila. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And one of the greatest challenges to my life is in the Old Testament. Have you ever wondered, girls, why it took 38 to 40 years for the Israelites to make a 11-day journey? It took them 38 to 40 years to make an 11-day journey. And God was with them. Have you ever wondered about it? And so I get a piece of paper, and I have to have paper, a book. I can't do it on a piece of paper anymore. Put my life down. Lila, are you just wandering around doing nothing, accomplishing nothing, and God stays with you? And I have mottos for my life, and one of them is unglamorous as anything, but it speaks volumes to me because I know me. And it's, Lila, when you're dead and gone, so what? What are we good? Is there a fragrance to our life, to our lips? Do we look at a person with soft eyes, loving eyes? Or do we say, oh, well, she didn't mean it anyway. She's just putting on. She just knows how to put on airs, and that's just what she's doing. And she's one thing to Mrs. Trotman, but you should hear her with me. You know that idea? We're all guilty sometime in our life until God got hold of us. And if that's in your life, well, you're not any different than the rest of us. Just talk to the Lord about it and get rid of it. And listen, it may creep up again, but God is the great forgiver. And the thrilling thing, and I shared with you Sunday, that the fruit of forgiveness is what? It's what? What? No? That's one of them, but that isn't the one I was speaking of. This is the number one I should have said. You were there Sunday. What did I tell you? Hmm? No. Hmm? Well, that's all part of it. Remember I said it's forgetting? The number one fruit of forgiveness is forgetting. We aren't capable of it. But He is. And to me, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, we are known by our fruits. And I think that oftentimes we interpret that as souls that we lead to Christ, and that surely is part of it. But we are known by the fruit of our lives, by the love of our lives. Do we love? Do people want to be with you? Or is it murmurings and disputings and fussing and fuming and complaining and hollering? Is that your life? And I think oftentimes, girls, we dedicate our lives and we dedicate our homes, but they aren't dedicated.
They really aren't.
If I'm a dedicated woman and I have a dedicated heart, then I'll have a heart. And nothing will be too early or too late or too hard or too heavy. Why? Because he's in it. He's there. And I tell you, girl, there's very little I can do. But he can do everything and anything. And I think of times that our God waits for us, and he still waits, and then he waits. And he has to wait longer. Why? Well, there's no one can do the job but, shall I say, us. But he can't get through to us. We're going at too fast a pace to sit and listen. And girls, let me tell you something. Listen, I don't want to minimize Bible reading because I am just sold on Bible reading. And I really believe, girls, that we should really just devour this book and read and read and then reread it. But let me just throw this in. It is not the number of verses or chapters or books that you read that's important. As important as it is that you do it. But that is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you retain what you're reading. And it becomes a part of your life. And that you outlive that which you're taking. This is alive. And it's quick. And it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And God says what he means. And he means what he says. And I'd rather see my child take one half of a verse and let that one half verse be playing a part in their life than to just daily read 10 chapters and know very little more when they finished after the month than they knew in the beginning. And I say, get you a spiritual diary. It can be just some pages, just like she has here, just a notebook, just like you all have. Put your thoughts down when you're with the Lord. And how does he speak to you, or does he? Does the Lord ever speak to you? Would you know his voice if he did? Or do you know his voice when he speaks? And our enemy is very clever. And oft times it could be him. Be very sure you know what you're doing. Be very sure you know how and where to read. And girls, there's only one way. There's no shortcut to a victorious life. Absolutely none. There's no shortcut. I would like to share with you, out of Streams in the Desert, June the 22nd, I believe it is. And this is said far better than I. And if you recall, on Sunday I shared with you this great love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. And this is... This is out of Proverbs 10, where love covereth, and then be eager in pursuit of this love, and that's Weymouth, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. Rehearse your troubles to God only. Not long ago, I read in a paper a bit of personal experience from a precious child of God. Now, this is what I want you to get. And it made such an impression upon me that I record it here. She wrote, in quotes, I found myself one midnight wholly sleepless as the surges of a cruel injustice swept over me. And the love which covers seemed to have crept out of my heart. Then I cried to God in an agony from the power to obey his injunction, love covereth. Immediately the Spirit began to work in me, the power that brought about the forgetfulness. Mentally, now this is the part that I want you to get. Mentally, I dug a grave. Deliberately, I threw up the earth until the excavation was deep. She just mentally dug a grave and it indicates that the hole was deep. Sorrowfully, I lowered into it the thing which wounded me, and quickly I shoveled in the clods. Over the mound, I carefully laid the green sods. Then I covered it with white roses and forget-me-nots. And quickly walked away. And I'm all for burying our sorrows and our heartaches, our bewilderments, our disappointments, our change of plans in His heart. And girls, it's the safest place under God's blue heaven. And it's the only place that I know of that can carefully take care of you and your heartaches. But the thing this morning that I'd like you to take from this place is that God requires us to go through. And oftentimes we want the glory without the cost. And there could not have been a cross without the crucifixion. And there can be no cross in our lives without a crushing, a burning, or without suffering. And remember, girls, that the true fragrance of a rose isn't known until it's crushed, and then it becomes perfume. And as more and more as I'm in this precious book, I realize that I must enter into Christ's suffering. And I don't find it easy. And I find it costly. And for some, it could be lonely. But girls, He's with you. And there isn't anything that He doesn't want you to go through that He won't go through with you. And I ask this morning that this not be broadcast over the air, and the only place that it will be at the Pink House for the girls, and so what I'm saying is for us. But listen, and you may not appreciate this, but you just don't criticize until you get off and think about it. And Merle and I have had the privilege of being with Mr. Graham through many crusades. Merle has been actually with the team longer than I have as a member, but I've been with the team longer than she has as Dawson's wife, because Dawson was a member. And Merle and I have, and I haven't discussed this with her but lately, but I know that we have faced similar problems in counseling. And during the New York Crusade, it just seemed to me like every other one was along this line, and it has to do with having children. And do you know, girls, that very thing in your personal life can rob you of everything? And I have heard, and I could tell you her name, and I could tell you where she is today, and I can tell you just what she said, and I can tell you I went to her, and I can tell you what I said, because we got it from the book. I'm not going to have any more children. This is it. Two, young girl. Two. Well, I had to know whether she got this from the Lord or whether she's talking. Well, she just delivered her third child. Must have been just talking. And we often, and it just might not be just children in your marriage, but listen, I am familiar with many things that can rob you girls of a happy home. I really am. Because I had 24 glorious years. And I had 29 glorious years in one man's life. And I know the cost, and I know the heartache. And I know the disappointment. I've tasted it all, and it's bitter. And I really, you can only name two things that I haven't had a problem with in a home, but I've had all the other. I guess three. I never had any problem about children. I've never had a problem with my husband. But listen, girls, that to me is shortcut. And you don't say one thing that your husband doesn't hear when he's around. Not one action when he's in the house, when he's around, that he doesn't know. Now, I'm not saying you're at fault and he isn't. I'm not saying that. But listen, we are the key to many things in our home, and we make the difference of whether it's happy or not. Isn't that right? You bet your life that's right. And you know it, and I know it only too well. Today, you might be carrying a heavy heart because of some sin. Maybe in your home, maybe in your life, or maybe in your darling's. But listen, God is the great sin bearer, and there's nothing, nothing too big for him or too heavy. And yours is for the asking. Victory is for the asking. Why not? And every time I have an opportunity with our gang, and they come to me for help, these newlyweds, why not be the happiest couple in your community? Why not be the outstanding couple? That's exactly what I said to Merle and Bob. Why not be? Why not be the outstanding testimony? Cost, yes, it'll cost you. Unglad, yes, it's unglad. People won't understand you. But listen, why not be? I mean, engagement, love falls into insignificance when you marry, when you get married, doesn't it? Remember that first love? Remember your first love when you became a child of God? Oh, the new spring in your step and a buoyancy in your spirit. The grass was never greener and the trees were never taller and they were, remember when you fell in love with your darling? Remember the vows you took at the altar? Have you retaken them together? Have you kept them? And I say all things must be equal in our lives before we can expect complete victory. And your home should be heaven on earth. It really should. It really should. Your children and the goal for your life, that your children would rise up and call you blessed, and your husband also, and praising you. Why not? That means that you might have to go to your child and ask forgiveness. And I've lived long enough now to see that we take out on our child that which you and I are not doing before God. We expect from our child that which you and I are not doing. God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In essence, he's saying, if you love me, do as I say. What did he say to you, and have you done it, and are you doing it? And that child of ours, it stood in the corner or deprived of a bike or phone call or a date. Maybe none of you are that old. Just my dear friend here and me, I guess we're the oldest in the crowd. And listen, when I realized that that is exactly what I had done, I made that right. I've had to write many letters since Dawson left to my children asking their forgiveness. And I don't care how old the sin is. If it comes to my attention, I'm going to do it at any cost. It doesn't make any difference what it costs. It really doesn't. Our sojourn here, just a few short years at the most. But we have all of eternity to rejoice with the one that we adore. And I say, girls, that apart from falling in love with the lover of your soul, I mean falling in love with God, there's no hope for you, really, for real happiness and real peace and real joy. And so when you go through that trial, when you go through that heartache, and when you go through that temptation, remember that God is with you. And then remember, he'll always be with you. He'll never leave you. Never. He'll never forsake you. And God loves you. And if you and I had been the only sinner, he would have still died for for us. Unless someone here says, but you don't know my background, and suppose I am a Swede, and suppose I am something else. Almost said Presbyterian. That's what I am. Let me share with you Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. And 18 says, remember ye not, Lila, the former things, and neither consider the things of old. And then I want to know why. Well, 19a is your why, it's your answer. Why? Behold, I'm doing this thing. This is God. He says, now listen, Lila, just forget the, don't forget the lesson. Or lesson. But just forget. Remember ye not the former things, and then don't just sit down and live in the past. Don't just consider the things of old. Don't we live in the past? Or live for tomorrow, but never for today. Today is hard, isn't it? Hot and unglamorous. Night seems like it'll never come. Well, take 19a. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Shall you not know? I'll even make a way in the wilderness. And he will. And he does. And he can. And I've been at the end of the rainbow, and I've been right up against a wall and a blank wall. And I've been in total darkness. I really have. And I had the privilege of traveling the Orient this winter. And some countries you could feel the darkness. Some countries you could slice it. Other countries, not so, as far as my heart responded. All alone, not a soul knowing me, no one around me to speak my language, and yet never alone and never lonely. Not knowing where to put my next foot, not knowing whether I was going to get there or not, but God knew. And so, just rest in the Lord. And I think as wives that one of the outstanding qualities that's missing in our lives is peacefulness, and the other is restful. We aren't at peace, and we aren't restful. Our words are not loving. Our thoughts are not loving. We are not kind. We are not strong in integrity. In other words, our garments may not be pure. But listen, take heart. This is a new day. This is a new hour. We're still here. God's granted us another hour. And so let's get our hearts right with God. Get our lives right and have one of the happiest homes in the community where you live. And so much so that people clamor to get in. You may say, well, I don't want that. I'll just stay like I am. I don't want people in my home. I didn't marry those. I married my husband. I didn't marry people. Well, let me just challenge you to try it. I never, ever lived alone. Dawson and I never lived alone a day, not one day, with any of our children. And we had five. The least we had in our home was 12. And for 4 years we had 30. For 2 years we had 30. And for 4 years we had between 30 and 33. Lauren Sanny with three of his children were part of that 30 for a long time. And, well, I miss it. I really do. Now don't get me wrong, I can't do it. I just, God can, but I don't have the strength for it now. But I'm getting ready for some heavy entertainment. Crowds, the more the merrier. And I love it, and I long for it, and I miss it. I really do. I can go into this pink house down here, and my heart can just flip-flop on me. And I have memories that won't quit. But I can honestly say I do not have deep longings, because I'm not to live in the past. I'm to look. See, yesterday's bread is stale and tomorrow's isn't baked yet, so it's bread for today, isn't it? Haven't you found it so? And God keeps His word. And many words, many things that were just words to me, girls, are my life today. I never ever prayed but for one widow before I became a widow, I'm sorry to say. And I've heard husbandman, and I've heard friends, and I've heard lover, and I've heard protector, and provider, and shield, and counselor, and comforter, and friend, and they were words to me, but they're my life today. He is my husbandman. He is my lover, and he never ever disappoints me. Oh, he does lots of times, yes is no. And I've had to take no. And just night before last, I took no again. But listen, let's be ready for the no's. And there's only one way to be ready, and that's to walk humbly before God. Because in ourselves and of ourselves, there's no good thing. And so time and more time alone with God.